الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. We praise Him. We seek His forgiveness. We seek His mercy. We seek refuge in God from the devil who is cursed. We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. And we submit our will to His will. And we ask that Almighty God keep us under His protection and keep us on a righteous path. And I greet all the believers out there this morning who are seeking righteous guidance. I greet you with the Islamic greeting of Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. And always, also will say this morning, Eid Mubarak. We'll finish with the fast. We'll finish with the fast of Ramadan. And I pray that Almighty God accept all of the people who fasted the 30 days, fasted the month, all of the prayers that we made, all of the charities that we contributed to, all of the supplications of the du'as that we made, all of the people we fed. We ask that Almighty God accept it from us and to forgive us of our sins and to put it on our scale of good on the day of judgment. So I begin today giving all praise to Almighty God, and I want to cover a few announcements before we begin today. I wanted to mention now, since the fast is over, that we will begin our Quran classes and the other classes that we have throughout the week. The Quran class actually is going to start back on April the 1st, and right now we'll be coming around the Maghrib time, a little after 7 o'clock. And that may change because the time is getting later now. We have some people that, you know, don't drive at night. But we're also on Zoom. And I will be sending that out in a text as we get closer to April. But our classes will start back April the 1st. That is on a Wednesday. Also, our Juma time, our Friday Juma prayer time, it has changed from 1:45 to 2 o'clock, 1:45 to 2 o'clock. So now we will be having our Juma time from 2 to 2:30. So many people have to adjust their schedules. Those who are getting off from work to make the Juma prayer, 2 to 2:30, only 30 minutes. We're going to adjust this time. We started 2 o'clock last Friday. So it's not but 15 minutes difference. But it does cover the time that we make our Dhuha prayer. If you understand that part, that we want to start our Juma prayer at the time that our Dhuha prayer come in. So this will be from now on for a while, 2 o'clock every Friday. And this is at 1410 Cemetery Avenue. And everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. We have a lot of people now in our community. It's unbelievable how our community has grown. It's unbelievable how many people came out for the month of fasting. All of the people who helped, I want to thank them for that, for help cleaning up, feeding people, bringing food. I could do a whole hour here speaking about the contributions of people that came together during the month of Ramadan. I think that we've learned a very valuable lesson that we can get much more accomplished when more people have their hands in helping the operation and the maintenance of the masjid, of the mosque. This is what I took from it. It's because you saw a lot of people helping this year, more people bringing food, more people just taking charge without being told to do something. And this is the beauty of a community. You don't have to be told to do something. You see it need to be done, and people were doing it. So this is growth. I call it growth because people feel that they belong to the community, that they're not a visitor, but they belong. So therefore, they're helping out. So we ask that Almighty God continue to allow us to grow. and to follow what he has commanded for us to do, and that is to be good believers, good human beings, with good morality, trying to obey him. And this is the object of life, is to obey Almighty God and to worship him and to seek his forgiveness. I want to give out our website. Our website is UIDF.org, UIDF.org. You can go on that site and experience many things. All of our lectures, you have pictures and stuff of the events that we have been involved in around the city. You can order material from there. You can ask questions from there. You can listen to our radio programs from this website, UIDF.org. Also, all of our lectures on Friday, they're on YouTube now. We're live on YouTube every Friday at 2 o'clock. You just go on YouTube and look up Islamic Center of Chattanooga, Islamic Center of Chattanooga, and you can see the previous worship services that we've had. We just started this maybe like 2 months ago, so you'll see all of the Juma prayers and lectures that we've had previously on YouTube. That's Islamic Center of Chattanooga, Islamic Center of Chattanooga. So we're moving forward, and we ask our Almighty God to be with us and to continue to help us. We always say that we're right where God wants us to be. People say, what's going on and what you all are doing? We're right where Almighty God wants us to be. We're doing exactly what he has commanded for us to do. We're being tried and tested every day. And until God Almighty lift a test from us, then we will stay striving and being active in what he has commanded for us to do. These tests, what it does for us, it purifies us. It strengthens us. If you never have a test, then you don't know how strong your faith is. You can say all day that you believe, but until you're tested on that belief, you don't know how strong your faith is. So we're right where we're supposed to be in the way that what God has decreed for us. And we hope that we can continue to be good human beings, work on ourselves, and keep our submission to God alone. I also want to say that if you have a question, we send out Qurans every week. I just sent out some last week, and they have been shipped. And hopefully, you know, the people have received them, because they were mostly local addresses here. If you have any questions, just like this morning, if you have a question, you can text me your question, and I can answer it over the air if I can. But you can text me at 706-459-1010. 706-459-1010. I know a lot of people, when they receive the Quran, they have questions, and your question may benefit someone else. If you text me this morning, a question you have about the Quran or about Islam, someone else may have that same question. And if I can answer it this morning, I'll be most welcome. I will be happy to do it. 706-459-1010. So we've shipped out a lot of Qurans here lately, not only in the Chattanooga area. I mean, we send Qurans everywhere. And for the last 30 years, we live at the post office. People know us very well. And because it's a beautiful thing to be able to send somebody something that they can read for themselves. Nobody's looking over their shoulders, influencing them on how to think. They have asked for the material. We give them material, and hopefully that they are reading the material. And whether they agree with it or not, I appreciate the people just asking to make a decision on their own to try to broaden their perspective of knowledge about what Islam is. And this is the whole purpose of Understanding Islam, Dawah Foundation. This is the whole purpose. This program began in 1995, was to explain what Islam is all about, to make it clear, to give a good distinction between what is Islam and what's not Islam. Many people have distorted views about what Islam is. Islam is very clear. Islam means to surrender your will to God's will. Plain and simple. Now we can go down the details of what the definition of Islam. But to make it very simple, Islam means surrender, submitting your will to God's will. And with that, praying, fasting, giving in charity, so forth and so forth. But a Muslim's life is to surrender your desires and your will to God's will. That's Islam. That is Islam. And to never associate partners with anything with God. Don't say God is a human being. Don't say God is the black man. God is not the black man, the white man, the red man, or the brown man. But God is the creator of man. To never worship anything created, but worship the one who created everything. Don't worship creation, but worship the creator. To accept all the prophets of Almighty God, all of them, from Adam all the way down to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. To believe in Jesus Christ, to believe that he was a messenger, a prophet of Almighty God, to believe in his miracles that God performed through him, to believe in his mother, Maryam, who God says in the Quran is the best of all women, to believe in all of the books that Almighty God sent to mankind, the Torah, the Gospel, the Psalms, the Quran, to believe in all of them, to believe in the angels that God created. God created them and they work for him. To believe in the day of judgment, that to believe that after this life, there is another life, a permanent life, whether good or bad, there's a permanent life after this life where every human being will have to give an account of what we have done in this life, good or bad. And to believe in the decree of Almighty God, that Almighty God has decreed certain things in this world that will happen. They cannot be avoided, but he has decreed everything that that will happen until the day of judgment. This is Islam, a universal religion, not a nation, but it is a universal religion, meaning that Islam is around the world. Everywhere you go, you're going to find Muslims believing that there is only one God and that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the final messenger of God. And especially for us converts who is coming out of different religious facilities, different religious denominations. When we say we believe in one God and Muhammad is the messenger of God, it includes all of the prophets of God. We don't have to denounce Jesus. We don't have to denounce any other prophets. When we say we believe in one God and all of the prophets, it includes Jesus and all of the prophets of Almighty God. We just don't worship them. We worship the one who created all of them. So this is the beauty of saying that you are Muslim, that you are following and trying to live your life according to how Almighty God has described for us to live our life. Now, one thing I wanted to cover this morning, I had really several topics, but since we're shipping Qurans out the way we're doing, I wanted to cover a chapter in the Quran, maybe 7 or 8 verses, and this is the second chapter of the Quran, and the reason it's coming right after the first chapter is because it's making things clear. It is the largest chapter in the Quran. It's called Baqarah, the cow. And if you have a Quran today and you open it to the first chapter, you'll see that the first chapter is praising Almighty God. In the first, it's only 7 verses in the first chapter of the Quran, and it's praising Almighty God. You can never go wrong in praising God. You can never go wrong. When you say all praise be to God, that's a correct statement. You can never go wrong. All of this is written down for you. And anytime you ask God for anything, you should start off praising him. You should start off mentioning his attributes, that he is the most gracious, that he is the most merciful, that he is the most forgiving, that he is the loving, that he is the one who sees everything. He is the one that hears everything. He is the one who has created life and death. He is the one who has created paradise and hellfire. He is the one who has created everything in the heavens and the earth, that he is the fashioner, on and on and on, praising God. These are just some of the attributes of our Lord. And you will see in those seven verses, this is how it starts off, praising Almighty God, saying that he is the master of the day of judgment. And after praising him, you will see in the middle of those seven verses, we say, Ihdina Surata Mustaqim, guide us on the straight path. Very important statement. Who doesn't want to be guided? Wouldn't you rather be guided than misguided? So that's a very powerful statement. If you have your Quran and you open it up to the first chapter, it's only seven verses. It's called Al-Fatiha. You will see it says, guide us on the straight path. This is a prayer. Guide us on the straight. So now you're asking for something. And you're not asking for any materialistic things. You're asking for guidance. What is better than guidance? God guides whom he please. And if you ask for it, he's going to guide you. A misguided person is a very dangerous person. A misguided person is a confused person because they don't know right from left and left from right. They just live their life day by day. There's no guidance. People today call them free spirits. We're free spirits, meaning that we don't follow anything. That's misguidance. Because everything God has created, he's created with guidance. We don't see anything in the heavens and the earth just operating arbitrarily on their own. Everything is a system, organized, and it works smoothly, seamless. That's guidance. And the human being, we're asking, when we say guide us on the straight path, we're asking for our life to be this way, to be guided. So now I want to take you to the chapter that I want to mention, because remember, we're asking for guidance. Guide us on the straight path. And since you were asking that question, you might say, what path? The path of those whom you have favored. This is in those seven verses. The path of those whom you have favored. The righteous. God has favored the righteous throughout the annals of history. Not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor those who go astray. This is the opening of the Quran. Now you move to the second. This is what I want to talk about today, because we have to remember we asked for guidance. And as soon as you turn the page to the second chapter, there are three Arabic alphabets there that no one knows its true meaning. It says Alif, Lam, Mim. These are Arabic alphabets. No one knows their true meaning but God. Alif, Lam, Mim. And if you move to the second verse, it says, this is the book. In it is guidance without doubt for those who believe in God. You asked for it in the first chapter. You said, guide us. And when it says guide us, you might think that the verse is saying guide me to the straight path. But the verse says guide us. Why us? Because you're praying for your brother and sister also. You're praying for the others who believe like you. So that's why it says Ihdina siratal mustaqim, guide us on the straight path. And when you flip the page, here come the guidance. This is the book. In it, without doubt, is guidance for those who believe. That there's no doubt in this book. God says it in the second chapter, second verse, that there is no doubt. Now, when we say there's no doubt, it means that there are no contradictions in this book. 100% when you read it, you're going to get guidance. You're not going to walk away after reading without guidance. If you come to it with a good heart, open mind, you're going to get guidance. Guaranteed. This is what God is saying. This is the book about which there is no doubt. It is guidance for those who fear God. It is not a book. The Quran is not a book for those who reject faith, for those who have doubt, for those who don't believe in God. The Quran is not for them. If they embrace the Quran, then they can benefit from it because it is the word of Almighty God. It's going to give them guidance. But how can you help a person if they don't even believe in the medicine that they're taking? How can you? So that's why God says this book is for those who believe in him, who fear God. You're going to come away with guidance. Verse 3 says, who believe? Because the book says, in the Quran it says, there is no doubt in the book. Surely there is guidance for those who believe. Believe in what? See, this is the religion right here. And for you all who have Qurans, this is a beautiful way to explain to people. Because many of your relatives are not Muslim. They're Christians and Protestants and Catholics and many other denominations. And if they say, like, what is Islam? Well, I mean, what is this book is about? What do they believe? God explains it right here. Those who believe in the unseen. See, those who believe in the unseen. We don't need a picture up in our places of worship to believe in God. No. Matter of fact, this is forbidden to do. The believers are unseen people. We believe in the unseen. This is called faith. We don't need pictures in our books. We don't need pictures in our homes portraying God. No, this is forbidden. This is idolatry. And that's why God explains it. Soon as you open the book, those who believe in the unseen. Why? Because if you create a picture or a painting and say that this is God, then this is idolatry. Idolatry leads to the fire. So God right away is telling you, you have to believe in the unseen. You don't see me, but you got to believe that I exist. You have to believe in me unseen. So take down those pictures and paintings and believe and have confidence in me unseen. What is the next God says? And establish prayer. Those who pray consistently, because prayer is a form of worship and it is the human being's way of communicating with their Lord. Yes, God says, and those who establish prayer. Prayer is the medicine. Prayer is the exercise. It's the medicine that keeps the human being on the straight path. We say, guide us on the straight path. Prayer is keeping you on that path. Why? Because prayer reminds you and keep you in the remembrance of God. If a person is not praying, it means you're not remembering God. Absolutely. You can't say you believe in God and you never pray. Now, you might have your own form of prayer. People say, I meet them all the time, say, well, I have my own form of prayer. You know, I pray like this, I do like this, and this is the way I remember God. But did God create us like this, where everybody have their own form of prayer? No. That's what the prophets and the messengers were for. They came to show people how to pray, how to worship God. That was their main mission, to call people to worship God, to show them how to worship God. We can't worship God any way we want. No. Why? because you don't have the knowledge to worship God in the correct way without being shown by the prophets whom God sent to show us how to worship God. Anytime anything is dealing with worship, everything is forbidden when it comes to worship, except what God has made permissible. That's the way to look at it. When it comes to worship, everything is forbidden except what God and his messenger has made permissible. So if a person say, well, you know, I want to light some candles and, you know, I want to put on some, burn some incense and I want to sit on the floor and sing some songs and, you know, some different things like this and all kind of things people do because they say, this is my way of worship. Did God tell us to worship this way? What messenger or prophet told people to worship like this? We don't worship God the way we want to worship God. We have to worship God the way he has commanded for us to worship. This is the correctness in religion. You know, you got people who are devil worshipers. You have to wonder, how did they get to this point of worshiping the devil? Did they start out like this? No, they didn't. It was a gradual descend in knowledge and behavior and in their own thinking that I can worship God any way I want. And anytime the human being go to the left like that, then the devil is going to immediately exploit that type of thinking and bring that person on over to him, to his side. So that's why it's important when God says, and establish prayer the way the prophets and the messengers have told us to establish prayer. Now, many of you know how the Muslims pray. I've heard the comments when they see Muslims bending and bowing and putting their forehead on the earth and praying. I've heard the comments. People say, look at them bent over like that, putting their head on the floor. We don't have to do that. No, we don't. I'm not going to mess up my $300 suit, getting down on my knees and putting my head on that dirty floor for anybody. Yeah, I heard them comments like that. Some of them are worse than that. Now, I'm not bowing down. I'm not bending and bowing. We don't have to do that today because we're under grace. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do that anymore. Jesus Christ, I don't know if you know it or not, go back and read when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was at one of the most critical parts of his life. Critical parts of his life. Read what it says in the Bible, how he prayed. And see how much you would be laughing after that. It says, and Jesus went forth and he put his face to the earth and prayed. How do you put your face to the earth? You got to get down. You have to bend down, bow down, you know, just like how we do every day. Get down. Jesus put his face on the earth and prayed to God. Not only that, you can read in your scripture where David and Moses and Abraham, it says they put their face on the earth and prayed. This is the prayer. So God doesn't tell us we just pray any way we want to pray. We have to pray that the way that Almighty God has instructed us to pray through his messengers and his prophets. Jesus Christ was a teacher. He was a professor. He was a messenger of Almighty God. And so he taught the children of Israel how to pray. He taught them how to wash themselves, how to be clean, their dietary plan, all of that. This is what he come for. To bring them out of darkness to light. So this is the second thing in this verse. And God says, and spend out of what we have provided for them. You have to give charity. This is the religion. This is Islam. You have to believe in the unseen. You have to give in prayer. You have to establish prayer. And you have to spend out of what God has provided you. And whatever it is, there is no little amount. And there is no big amount. The point of it is you have to give what you have. You have to give what you have. You have to be charitable. This is the religion. You have to be charitable. You have to give of the good you have now. Let me specify that. If you're making your money in an illegal way, God has no need for that money. That money is no good. And I've heard other people try to justify and say, it is good. You know, like he can sell drugs, brother, and make the money. But when he give it to the church, it's purified. Well, your mind can justify anything, but it doesn't mean it's right. The end does not justify the means. You see what I mean? You can't go rob somebody, take their money, that's illegal, and then bring it to the church or donate it. That's illegal in God's sight. So you have to be charitable, and you have to give of what God says, what he has provided, and everything that Almighty God has provided is good. So whatever description we have of the believers and who believe in what was revealed to you. See, this Quran is being revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And God says, you have to believe in what was revealed to you, meaning the Quran. And you have to believe in what was revealed before you. And we do. What came before the Quran? The gospel of Jesus. Jesus came before Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, approximately 600 years. We believe in it. We are the only non-Christian denomination that believe this. The Jews don't believe it. And you have many other organizations that don't believe that. But we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It don't confirm the Quran, but God says you have to believe in the revelation that came before you. We believe in what God sent to David. We believe in the Torah, the scripture that God gave Moses. I mean, how can you go wrong? We believe in all of that. We're not saying we only believe in the Quran. God says you have to believe in what came before you. The authentic scripture, not what people have produced today, but the authentic scripture, the scripture that coincides with the correct belief in Almighty God. And God says, and you have to believe, and of the hereafter, that you're going to be successful in the hereafter. And who believes in what was revealed to you and what was revealed before you, and of the hereafter, they are sure, meaning that the hereafter will bring success to you. Now, you cannot be a Muslim if you do not believe in the hereafter, because it's one of the pillars of our faith to believe in the hereafter. So if you're saying you're a Muslim and you don't believe in the Day of Judgment, you're outside of Islam, because here in the third verse or the fourth verse here, it says you have to believe in the hereafter. I mean, why would we pray every single day and give our money in charity and do all of these things and, you know, endure all of the injustice that we do in this world, all of the things that happen in this world against people that are just horrific? How could we live our lives if we didn't believe that there's going to be a day when all of these things are going to be set straight by Almighty God? This is what we call hope. So this verse is very beautiful. Believe in what was revealed to you and believe in what came before you, and of the hereafter, they are sure. And what did God say about these people? He said, these are the people that are on right guidance from their Lord. And it is these people who will be successful. So just look at that. If you have your Quran with you today, that already explains to you in detail, just in a few verses, what Islam is all about. And did you hear anything that was negative that I just read? I ask you, did you read anything that is negative to that what I said? To establish prayer, to give in charity, to believe in the unseen, to believe in the day of judgment. Is that negative? Is that contrary to good morality? No. If you have an open mind and you're not being biased, you have to say, I agree with that. I agree with that. I didn't hear anything that the man said that was wrong. We all have to believe in that if you're going to be a righteous person. Don't let the devil put a cap on your thinking. You know, a lot of people say, and this is the way they evaluate knowledge. You can tell them the truth. 2 and 2 is 4. 2 and 2 is 4. I don't care. Universally, 2 and 2 is 4. But if it's not coming from my side of the group I believe in, or the group I'm with, or the group I affiliate myself with, I have some doubt if 2 and 2 is 4. You know, just because I said it, just because this other person said it, who they don't associate with, is not affiliated with their religious program, I kind of really doubt that it's 2 and 2 is 4. Now, if someone from their side say 2 and 2 is 4, they say, I mean, yes, I believe that. That's not correct. That's when the devil is shaping your thinking, because truth is truth, regardless who says it. If you're not a person who can accept the truth, then you will never be able to meet the expectations of a true human being, one who believes in Almighty God, because it doesn't matter who says the truth. If it is the truth, you have to accept it. Know ye the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who said that? Only the truth can set you free. You can take the handcuffs off a man and the shackles off of a man. You can take him off the plantation. But is he free? Is his mind? If his mind is not free, he's not free. If a person's mind is not free, he just is of a slave, a prisoner, as he was when he had the shackles on his hands and feet. Because it is the mind that people focus on and identify with freedom. That's why it was so important to keep slaves in this country from reading and writing. Because they knew if that type of light entered the mind of a slave to be able to read and write, then he was going to have more expectations of himself than somebody picking cotton. But as long as you could keep that slave's mind in darkness, that this is what God created you for, to pick cotton, to eat watermelons, to be a slave, then he would never try to aspire to be anything better than that. Because no light is entering his mind, no knowledge. So that's why it was death. It was capital punishment if a slave was caught reading and writing. It's just historical facts. Anytime somebody's telling you not to read something or not to broaden yourself in knowledge, then there's something behind that. There's something behind that. So Almighty God tells us the first verses that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Just listen what the first verses were. Iqra, read. You see how important reading is? The first verses of this Quran. Iqra bi ismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who creates. See, God wants you to read. Reading is going to brighten your mind. It's going to open up your mind. You're going to travel and you never even leave your home. You're going to experience things without even leaving the United States. It's going to make you a better human being. And that's why God tells us to seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. Let knowledge enter your mind. And you have people today, religious people, that are encouraging other people, their members, stay away from this book. It's only going to take you in darkness. I received a 4-page letter of the day And what was so weird about it, they put a $5 bill in the envelope. Four pages typed. And the four pages are nothing but criticizing the religion of Islam, saying all of these evil things about Islam. I can't even say it over the radio. Why they put $5 in the envelope, I have no idea. But I didn't put that $5 with our money. You know, they could have, and the way they had it folded was weird in itself. You know, people could send you something, put powder in it, or, you know, they could have exposed that $5 bill to many things. I took a chance just by putting my hands on it, because the letter is vile. It's spewing evilness. You see what I mean? Probably the person even don't even know anything about Islam, but they took the time. That ain't the only letter that, you know, we receive. We receive many things like that. People come by and hang Bibles on our door, put these pamphlets about come to the blood of Jesus and you going to hell. All of these, put them on our doorsteps, put them on our doorknobs all the time. I mean, think about that. I always say, what are they calling us back to? Like a lady told me one time, white lady told me one time, when she found out I was a Muslim, she said, how did they get you? How did they get you? Like I was an escaped slave or something. And the Muslims had captured me or given me asylum, you know, because she came up to me and said, Lord, how did they get you? I said, ma'am, what do you mean? She said, how did they get you to this religion? I said, well, I used to be a Christian. She said, yeah. She said, then how did they get you? I said, well, one thing, she asked me, did they brainwash me? I said, they did brainwash me. They washed my brain really good, because that white image I used to worship all the time when I went to church, I don't worship that no more. I don't drink anymore, don't smoke, don't have girlfriends. I try to submit my will to God's will. So are you calling me back to that? I mean, are you calling me back to that type of life? And I was asking, tell me something that in your life, in your religion that you're doing, that I'm not already doing and exceeding in Islam. Because just the statement she made to me was a very biased statement. You have to read into what people say. How did they get you, of all people? Now, it would have been okay if they would have got a person from Italy, a person from Mexico, or any other ethnicity. But a black person? Wow, how did they get you? Supposed to be on my plantation. You supposed to have my name. You belong to me. Now, how did they get you? That's basically what she was saying. That's basically what she was saying. But with knowledge, it's going to move you from one place to another. And that's why the emphasis is always put on reading and knowing what Almighty God has established for you, not people. Because people have their own concept about religion. But Almighty God has given us what he has established for us in knowledge. Now, I want to read number 7 here before we go off the air. This verse says, number 6. It says, indeed, those who disbelieve, it is the same to them whether you warn them or not, or warn them not. They will not believe. Now, you notice the first verses I was reading, it dealt with belief. Those who believe, those who establish prayer, those who give in charity, on and on and on. Now, God covers, indeed, those who disbelieve. What is disbelief? Those who reject the guidance of God. Those who reject truth. God says it is the same to them whether you warn them or warn them not. They are not going to believe. Why? God says he has set a seal upon their hearts and upon their hearing, and over their vision is a veil, and for them is a great punishment. Now, what God is describing here is a person whom God has sealed his faith. Why? Because if a person continue to reject faith, continue to be defiant, if a person continue to live their life not remembering God, being defiant, saying that they're going to be a free spirit, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I'll worship any way I want to worship. This is what many people say. God says, these people, God says, you can warn them or warn them not. They're not going to believe. Why? Because God has put a seal upon their hearts. And see, this is devastating here. And this is what people have to worry about. That you 30, 40, 50 years old, and you don't know if you believe in God or not. You don't even pray. You don't thank God for what he's given you every single day. You're ungrateful, basically. You're ungrateful. For these people, this is the dangerous part. Because God says he put a seal upon their hearts. When God put a seal on your heart, that means there's no knowledge, no faith, nothing is going to enter your heart. Your faith is sealed. God says, and he has put a covering over their hearing. They're not going to hear anything you're saying. You met people like this. That's what God said. Warn them or warn them not. They're not going to believe because their heart is sealed. Their hearing is covered. And God says there is a covering over their vision. They can't see. They're looking at you, but they can't see, meaning they can't see the truth. They can't understand the truth. They can't comprehend the truth. Their vision, their heart, and their hearing is sealed. And God says, and for them is a great punishment. We ask Almighty God to save us from being among these people. To save us from being among these people. I mean, you can read the history. Was Pharaoh's heart sealed? Yes. And he met his fate by drowning. And you can go on and on and on about these great tyrants that went up against the truth, went up against God, and they fall into this category. God says, and for them is a great punishment. Now, God is going to describe three kind of people right here before we get off the air. And you can say, I can relate to this. God says in number 8, and of the people, there are some who say, we believe in God in the last day, but they do not believe. Right? Many people say this, that they believe in God in the last day, but God says they do not really believe. God says they think that they are deceiving God and those who believe. But they are only deceiving themselves while they perceive it not. This is, we call it a munafik, a hypocrite. God says, and among the people of those who say, hey, we believe in the Lord. But God says they don't believe. They just think that they are fooling the people, the believers. But God says, they're not fooling the people. They're only fooling themselves. God says, in their hearts is a disease. And God has increased their disease. And for them is a painful punishment because they are liars. Look at that. In their hearts is a disease. And we talked about this morning at our morning prayer. That if the heart is not right, you can make all the prayers you want. Give all your money. Do all the religious acts in the world. If you're not sincere, the heart will never be right. And if the heart is not right, nothing on your body is going to be right. If the heart is not right, you're not going to be right. Your character is not going to be right. Your speech is going to be bad. Your vision is going to be bad. your knowledge that you have is going to be obsolete, because the heart is not right. And that's why the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said that there is a morsel of flesh in your body. If it is good, the whole body is good. But if it is bad, the whole body is bad. And he said, it is the heart. So the heart is that vessel that's either going to be good or evil. The heart is that vessel that if you give it to anything else other than Almighty God, it's going to be evil. You're going to be destroyed. The only thing that should be in the heart of the human being is the remembrance of God. Evil and goodness cannot coexist in the heart. And usually whatever's in the heart will manifest itself on your tongue and on your limbs. So that heart is the vessel that's going to define, that's going to manifest who you are, who we are. So God says in their heart is a disease. You can't go to the doctor and get it corrected. It's no way. Or even you can take, we can go deeper than that. You can take another heart out of a person and put a different heart in a person. It's still going to be bad. That's how deep it is. The heart is just the symbol. It's that muscle. You know, it's the seat of iman, of faith. So God says in their heart is a disease. And what God says, he increases their disease. And for them is a painful punishment. The reason he increases it because how defiant and ungrateful they are. I mean, ungratefulness is a terrible thing. When a person is not grateful, I mean, to God, I can, if you're ungrateful to another human being, that's one thing. But if you are ungrateful for the one who is keeping you alive, who's keeping your heart going every day, who's have given you vision and hearing and given you the ability to speak, if you are ungrateful to the one who controls all of that, then you are the epitome of ungratefulness. The epitome of ungratefulness. So that's what happens when the heart is not functioning right. God says, now here go the three descriptions of people right here real quick. In number 11. And when it is said to them, these same people I'm talking, what God is mentioning, the one who are ungrateful, the one who are persistent in evil. God says, and when it is said to them, do not make mischief on the earth. Don't cause corruption on the earth. They say, we are the peacemakers. God says, unquestionably, for sure, God says, they are the mischief makers, but they realize it not. Think about that. When it is said to them, don't cause trouble in the world. Don't cause corruption in the world. Don't go around the world causing problems all over the world. Like in World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, you all over the world fighting. Afghanistan, Iraq, you name it. Panama, Somalia, Bosnia, Libya, Syria, all over the world. Japan. And when it is said to them, don't cause problems in the world. They say, oh, we are the peacemakers. We only want peace. We're going to spread democracy everywhere. God says, surely they are the mischief makers, but they realize it not. And God says, and when it is said to them, believe as the other people believe. Be good like the other people. Have faith like the other people. Believe as the other people believe, they say, should we believe as the fools believe? This is what they say. Should we believe as the fools believe? God says, for sure, they are the fools, but they realize it not. Think about that. When you say, hey, why don't y'all believe like the other people believe? Why don't you spread goodness? Why don't you believe in God? Man, I ain't got time for that foolishness. People just tricking y'all, taking your money. Y'all just fools. I'm not getting into that religious business like that. God says, surely they are the fools, but they realize it not. And then the last one here, God says, and when they meet those who believe, they say, we believe. But when they are alone with their evil ones, they say, surely we are with you. We were only mocking. Surely we are with you. And this is exactly what we see today. And when they meet those who believe, they say, hey, I believe, my brother. I believe. But when they are alone in private with their friends and their associates, they say, man, look, we were just kidding with them. We're really with you. You know I ain't down with that. But when I'm around them, yeah, I got to say that. I don't want my auntie and grandmama and all of them on me. You know, I ain't with that. But when I'm around them, you know, I got to act a part. I have to act a part. I'll say I believe. But hey, man, I'm really down with you all. God says that he will prolong them in their transgression and have them wandering blindly in the world. These are the first 15 verses of the second chapter of the Quran. And I hope the ones I've sent Qurans to, just read it. How beautiful these verses are, describing human beings giving hope to those who believe. And this is what we all want, the people who say we believe in God and we act upon that belief. We want paradise. This is what we want. We're not ashamed to say it. What do we want? We want paradise. When do we want it? Whenever God's will. This is what all our work is for. We want to be saved from the fire. We don't want to go to hell. Some people say that's just a cliche. No, it's real. People experience some hell in this life. They say, how you doing, man? I'm just experiencing hell every day. That ain't the real hell. The hell is after this life. So we, as believers, we say all the time, save us from the fire and let us enter paradise. This is what we want. All of our striving, all of these programs, giving our money, praying every day. Where does that road end? It ends with God. That's where it ends. And he will decide who will go to paradise and who will go to the hellfire. Not your pastor, not any imam, not any bishop, but God is the judge. And anyone who says someone else is going to hell and someone else is going to paradise, they are just foolish because they are not the judge. This same person and people who say all the time, like this lady told my daughter last week, I want you to be a Christian so you can go to paradise with me. She's not the judge. The judge is Almighty God. And where we go is in his hand. Think about that. Don't let people tell you where you're going and where somebody else is going. That's the most ignorant statement a person can make because you're not the judge. You are weak. The same people that are saying that are weak, and they are going to have to stand in front of God themselves. You don't have no free ticket. Everybody got to strive until death overtakes us. And the one that will be judging on all people will be our Creator. And that's why we say, oh God, give us good in this life and give us good in the hereafter and save us from the fire. If anyone have any questions for me, my number is 706-459-1010. 706-459-1010. Till next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.